This is the Okefenokee Swamp. I take this from Channel 5 in June 1968. Now I'm transferring it to the finest place I can think of, Mack Weaver's tapes on his hunting. And this is Okefenokee Swamp, and this is Mack Weaver's reel. And it's channel two right. And this is the Okefenokee Swamp recording, and it's channel two right on Mack Weaver's tape.
You're going to find this quite exciting, really. And incidentally, the music in the background is played on a harmonica. You might have heard it called a mouth organ. But pleasant music it is, as you might hear it played around Okefenokee country.
Southeastern corner of Georgia, touching on the Florida border, lies the Okefenokee Swamp, 630 square miles of wilderness, one of the most primitive and untouched spots in the United States. Now a national wildlife refuge, it is a place of mystery, of strange sights and sounds. What's New is going to explore the swamp, which will enter from the Okefenokee Swamp Park on U.S. 1, 8 miles south of Waycross, Georgia. Visitors are not usually permitted to stay overnight in the swamp, that we've gotten special permission to camp. While Johnny, our guide, loads the boat, we'll go on a tour of the zoo at the Okefenokee Swamp Park. This part of the swamp is all many visitors take time to see.
You take the otter, for instance. The little fella out here, he's one of the greatest swimmers we have in the swamp here. One of the nicest animals, I guess, that you'd find in the Okefenokee. And those things, when they are real small, is just about the size of a house cat's kitten, very small, when they're born. And she generally keeps them up in the den. Now, these otters, we had them born here in captivity. The Oscar the alligator, now he's been with us about 12 years. And Oscar, all you gotta do, he can be coming down the trail. He's got used to about feeding time. And when the boys announce over the mic over here, we're gonna feed the otters and give a lecture over under the shelter. Well, here comes the old alligator. He wants to have lunch too. And when those alligators, Oscar and Susie, come in together, both of them up at the same time, usually Susie will eat about two fish and Oscar, he'll eat about three. Kind of like a boy and a girl going down to a hamburger store, you know. A lot of times a boy, he'll go down, he'll eat a couple and the girl one, you know. In fooling the animals, a whole lot of times it's patient what gets you.
Meanwhile, Johnny was ready with the boat to take our What's New cameras into the swamp.
If I was going in there to stay for any length of time, I wouldn't carry anything but some meal. And carry me some meal and some grease and some coffee, and that's all I'd want. I'd get the rest of what I wanted right out there in the swamp. Of course, a person couldn't survive out there without it carrying anything in there with it. Move it in the water, just twist your pole and it'll guide your boat any way you want. But there's an art to poling a boat.
Well, out in the swamps, they'll eat turtles and they'll eat snakes, birds, just anything they can catch. Little small animals.
People, a lot of men tell me that the old alligators would eat the young, but I've never known of that. I've never saw it. It could be so, but I never did see it in my lifetime. I've had a lot of tangles with them. I never was bit with by one. I shot one, been about 33 years ago. I shot one, and I thought I had killed him, and I laid my gun down and waded in the water to get him, and he got me when I waded in there. He got me by the leg. I had to job his eyes and put my thumbs in his eyes and finally got his mouth open and drug him out. I got his skin, though, before I left there. I brought the skin when I come. At that time, we was hunting the alligators for their skins. Of course, at that time, we only got $1.50 for a 7-foot alligator. The government owns it now, and there's no alligator hunting in yet. That was way back years ago.
I'd always heard of the Okefenokee called the land of the trembling earth.
Yeah, we have this trembling earth in the swamp, what we call trembling earth. Vegetation that floats on the water, it comes up from the bottom, it'll rise up. Sometimes there'd be places that's 200 yards across it. And it's water all under this. And you can walk across. The person that knows how to walk it can walk right on across it. But a person that don't know how to walk it, he'll get on there and he gets stopped. It's just like walking on spring. Well, you just have to walk just like it. You've got to kind of walk with it, you know. As you step and it springs while you move. And just keep moving with it and you can go right on across it. But if you stop, it sinks with you. It'll go right there. I saw them go down and have to swim out from the other 100 and come out way out yonder and come up. But it'll eventually grows up till it'll make an island. And it'll just keep filling up and grow up until it gets solid, or it'll hold up most anything across it. We have a plant grows in here, a bush, what we was always raised to call poor man's soap. It'll make suds and you can wash with it, except in anything that's greasy, it won't cut grease much, but as for dirt, it'll wash it just as good as any soap that you ever seen. Just make all pretty suds. I mean, a lot of them, too. Just take the leaves, pull the leaves from the plant and roll them in your hand and wet it with water. It's just like taking soap in your hand.
I ask why the swamp water is so black.
Well, that's caused mostly from the tannic acid, from the barks of the trees, cypress trees, and the foliage from the trees and things that causes it black. The water in the swamp is healthy. I've drunk it all my life, and all of the old timers all ahead of me, we never knew what it was to take drinking water in the swamp. Drink this water out in the swamp while you just live to be a... You just don't hardly ever die. Shy. Bears are mighty shy. That's the reason I say they're smart. They're about the smartest wild animal that you ever saw in your life. Gum tree in the swamp. It has these old blueberries, and we call them gumberries. I saw every limb where bear climbing go up and just stand there and reach over and catch them limbs and pull them back over and break them off. And you eat the berries off of it, turn the limb loose, let it fall, reach and get him another and pull it back over and break a limb not strong enough to hold him and walk out there on him. You know, you just pull it over and break them off and eat the berries off and let it go. We call the bonnet lily. The good Lord furnished the fish out there, and he furnished the bait right along with it, a person that knows how to get it. Just pull up the stem, them big long stem that grows up out of the water with a leaf on top, and just pull that stem up and split it open, your worm right in the stem. That's where he lives, in that stem. And they'll bite him quicker than will anything you can put out there.
Yeah, the people ask me a lot of times in the swamp, yeah, can you go in and catch all the fish that you want? And Well, that depends on how good a fisherman you are. And there is one place in the swamp there that you can go and catch all the fish you want. Because we're not going to tell anyone where that place is. Just keeping that for ourselves. I think one of the best ways of fishing in the swamp here is with the old cane pole. And then if that don't work, well, about the only thing left to do is just crawl in there and start cooling them out. And the way you do that, you just get out into the water there and feel around these logs and stumps and things and just feel for them till you feel them and then catch them with your hands and put them in the boat. Yeah, there was one time we was out there fishing, and we'd fished pretty near all day and hadn't caught any. You know, the swamp is just like anywhere else. Like I told you a while ago, it's not everybody that can catch them out there all the time. But that was one of the days that was kind of rough, so we fished on till pretty late that evening. We didn't have any fish. And finally, we noticed over in the water there a little riffles making up. And we go over there, and we noticed that there was about a 6-pound bass there. It was wallowing around. We reached down and caught him. We found out he had about a 3-pound bass in his mouth and hung up, and he was just struggling trying to get rid of it. So we had plenty of fish after all.
With old man Carter, old Uncle Tom Carter. Me and him fished together lots. But practically every week we was in the swamp fishing. We was out with on big water. We was fishing it late in the afternoon and we pulled our boat out on the kind of a little loop that run out of the lake and we was tied up there fishing and we kept hearing a fuss upside of the lake. And of course we didn't know exactly what it was, and we kept watching up there. I did. He didn't pay it much mind. After a while, I saw a bear come up to the edge of the lake from out of the jungles, and there was an alligator laying about halfway, right about middleways of the lake. And the bear jumped in the water and went swimming on through. He never did see us, not that we knowed of. And the alligator, just before the bear got there, the alligator sunk down under the water. And he went down, when the bear got right along about where we saw the alligator sink, we saw the bear sink. He just went down under the water, and we could see the mud and leaves and stuff float up, and the mud just boiling everywhere. So we watched him, it seemed to me like about a minute or a minute and a half, something like that. And the bear come up, swam right on in the same direction, and went right on across the lake. Went out, went right on in the jungle. So we kept sitting there watching. After a while, I told Uncle Tom, I said, Uncle Tom, I said, I see something that looks like that alligator laying up on that water yonder. Part of him. You could just see one little part of him that rears up in his side. We got the boat out and pushed over there to him. And when we drug him out where we could see him, we got pushed him all the way and drug him to the edge and drug him up on the dry mud. And when we drug him out, the bear had caught him in the side with his paws. You could tell from the scratches on his side. And he'd busted his rib, broke his rib, broke three of them on one side and two on the other side where he'd mugged him. And he'd busted the alligator's beak in three different places where he'd bit through him with his teeth. He just busted him, had him all ruined up. And he died. We measured the alligator, and he was 9 foot and 2 inches long. And the bear, and looking at the size of him, the best we could tell, the old Uncle Tom said he'd weigh about 300 pounds. So from that day on, I was a small boy, about 12, 13 years old. And I've watched that all of my life from then on, and I found that the bear was the king of the Okefenokee Swamp. You can find the alligator's nest. I've saw them where they'd be, and looked at the eggs in them, and probably the next day or day or two after that, passed back by there and see where the bear just tore them down, drug out the eggs and eat them, and made him lay down up in the nest there. He don't fear the alligator not a bit in the world. He don't ever study him at all. So that's why I know he's the king of the swamp.
Used to, we had a lot of wild hogs around the swamp here. And that was actually dangerouser than the bear or the bobcats or any other of the hunting. They would actually fight you more than an animal would. They would back off and run at you. They had long tushes. Usually the hog will run till he gives out nearly. And then he stops and backs up, and the dog runs up baying him. And he'll just stay there. He can fight off two or three dogs. And usually we go in there and slip up behind the hog and catch him. I have crawled up under the bushes, which is very dangerous, and catch the hog. He'd be looking at the dogs, and I would slip up behind him and catch him. And a good dog will go right on in there and help you then. And that's the kind of dogs you want to have when you hog hunt. You want to have a dog that you can really trust.
Well, the possum hunting here at night, when we go out possum hunting, the dogs, you know, they'd run the possum sometimes. They'd run him for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, before they treed the fella. He can run along pretty well. But if they treed him back in those days, we'd have to have splinters, fat, lighted splinters, about 3 foot long. We'd build us a fire and light the splinters, and we'd shine his eyes up in the tree with the light from the splinters. And his eyes, you could see him for probably about 50 feet high. You know, you have to hold your splinters up where you can see. And most of the time, we'd cut the tree down and try to catch him.
There's been a lot of murders. We used to have a lot of killing when his logging camp was on Billy's Island. When we had a lot of people that was killed. Nobody never knew who done it. We didn't have any law in the swamp. The law was never from neither way. And years ago, even if they arrested a man and carried him in for murder, they didn't know, of course, he was smart enough to hire a lawyer when they take him in. The lawyer asked him which county he was killed in, and nobody knew. Nobody knew anything about it, just the Okefenokee Swamp. And the swamp lies in three counties. It lies in Charlton County, and Ware County, and Clinch County. Well, of course, you had no ground to fight in a case like that.
There was one place now, side the swamp here, that a lot of the old-timers used to think was a haunted place. They would go into every night late, and they would see this ghost that was right near a big log going into the creek. And there were several fellows went through there and got frightened away. But we had this one fellow that he said he wasn't afraid of it. He had on this big overcoat. It was cold weather. And one of the fellows told him if he'd take a fork and go stick in this log where this ghost always appeared at, that they would give him $5. So he taken the fork and went to this log, and he backed up to it. He stuck the fork in where he got just right where he could run, but the fork went through the overcoat and into the log, and he never did get back to get his $5.
There's plenty of snakes, always been. Those cottonmouths, they's just worlds of them. I've slept with them at night. I've been sleeping out in there in a bed of moss.
Now, I broke off the tape. I taped over it, and the cottonmouth is incomplete. That's one of the fine spots in the sleep of the cottonmouth. And this is the end of the Okefenokee Swamp, the first part. And the second half hour, I didn't get. I didn't know it was on. Now, the Okefenokee Swamp starts on Channel 1 over at 575, and it's continued. This is a continuation of it, an end of that half-hour tape. This is Channel 2 right, around 300, between 290 and 300. The half-hour from Channel 5 on the Okefenokee Swamp on Mac Weaver's reel starts at Channel 1 over, around 575, and it at the end of Channel 1 over, and is finished and continued and finished on Channel 2 right, and this is around 300. Channel 2 right, around 300. And that's the end of this first half hour on the Okefenokee Swamp from Channel 5, and the second half hour, as I just said, I didn't get. Now, this is a tape of Mac Weaver on Saturday morning, the 12th of April, 1969. Saturday morning, the 12th of April, 1969, I just dropped by. The honeysuckle was blooming out in that little lane by his house where I generally stop and park. Those mimosas were growing up out there, too. He said he was going to have to come out there and cut them out. I said, who's going to help you, Mr. Weaver? He said he'd do it himself. He needed the exercise. Nobody was there when I got there. The dog spoke to me, barked at me, but I didn't offer to come in. And the red dog stood there and barked at me a little bit and looked the other way. I went on back and cut a few of the honeysuckle blossoms to bring on home, put them in the back of the car where they smelled it up. And she walked down a little piece with me, but I didn't get close to her. I was still standing out there, and Mr. Weaver was coming down that lane. I don't know where he was coming from. He said he'd been carpentering, but I think he'd just been on the job somewhere, but not today, Saturday, last week, or this week. We walked on back talking to Blue Streak as we were going, and he just talked about everything. And about halfway through, he noticed, you know, that I was taping him, so he talked bigger and bigger and bigger. So it really does better when they're not conscious of the tape. He took me out of the garden, showed me what made the vegetables grow. He has worked out that moon, signs of the moon, to an art, seems like, and it works for him. That red dog barked at some colored children on the other side of the house, back on the other lane. Directly, this old colored man came along there, and he was looking for some gasoline to run his mower, and he also had a drink of water. Mr. Weaver tried to help him a little bit. He let him have what gasoline he had. He said that would not fill his tank. The colored man said maybe half tank. Well, I stayed twice as long as I needed, but he just couldn't get through talking. And he looked pretty good, and he talked well. You know, you catch a man at the right time, talks better. He told me, oh, he's circumstantial. He's circumstantial in that all that information that he has.
Lone one? Well, I'll be doggone. They picked at that dog of Frank's over there till they can't get around. Come, let's walk up here. Well, certain people come up here. They don't pay no attention to it and walk on and do anything more. But they got those darn sticks in their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And
Hi there, pretty.
Hello,
hi.
Gal. Come here.
Hi there, pretty.
She's not going to bother you.
Well, she stood out.
Pay no attention, and she thinks you're all right there.
Yeah.
But they have picked at her, and I'm going to tell Frank, I'll send him out to get him. He wants to get someone to clean up his yard, you know. It's about as bad as mine, though, so I started on it.
Yeah.
I got a little mine cleaned up, but I got the whole thing. I got to tear this all down.
Good
got a
Lord.
Lot of work to do here.
Lord, yeah.
Well, I asked those neighbors and a lot of darn niggas to come down and see that nigga gal, and they had to get out there and talk.
Yeah.
And I told them to leave those sticks at home. She wouldn't pay no attention to them.
Yeah. Come here, pretty. come
come
in.
Come on, red gal.
See, you can tell with a look in the eye whether they go.
She knows it's going to bother you. She might not let you catch her.
Yeah.
That's the only puppy, the old Gray, that big fine stud dog we've got.
Is that right?
And I got one of her grand puppies here. This is her grand puppy.
Yeah.
His grand puppy.
Yeah.
Now then, the people's worrying me to death, trying to bag me out of these dogs, you know. And I told them, I says, you better get you some good dogs from them when you can. Or they'd play like they'd go and buy them somewhere else, and they come up without the good.
Yeah.
Now they come in trying to talk me out of these. Well, I don't let them have them.
Yeah.
But I've got but about seven now.
Yeah.
And I guess when they all die, that'd be about my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to quit you.
You're not breeding?
No, I don't feel like fooling with them too much anymore. And
you need somebody to work along with you, Mr. Weaver, and learn about it.
They won't do it. They won't try to learn, and none of them won't, and they'll learn the hard way when I quit.
Yeah.
And I tell them what to do. I says, it's easy done. They got to do something else, you know, at certain times. They'd let them go. Well, after they're done dead, you know, then it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody ought to. I don't mind. I've tried giving them puppies and things like that, and then it won't. If you give them to them, she'll take care of them.
Yeah.
If they pay a good price for them, then they'll look at them.
Yeah.
That dog right there, if I didn't take care of her, she'd have been dead long ago.
Yeah.
Well, somebody tried to kill her a time or two, and that's a good dog. That's one of the finest deer dogs you ever seen, yet.
Oh, she is?
Yes, sir. And fox or cat dog, she's just as good on one as she is. And I can take her to my dogs and I lost her and that old dog, young. She's 10 years old. One of her puppies in here. We'll be on the other side of Wonder, and we hunted till 11 o'clock all day and 11 o'clock for them. And they got away from us. And it was so hot it could have been. They just run until they couldn't get back.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, now, old Mayflower, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday night, we went back over there, and this one stayed with her, and the little Jippin got up and rested and got up and went to hunt for me again.
Oh.
And her puppy, you know, she's not as old as this and stayed with that. That one will come back. I had my whole pack when I had all those two letters of them and two or three letters of different dogs, some out of each letter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go put them out over yon torn place and they'd come back and lie down and it didn't make any. They may get up and walk around some and wait and listen for me, you know, and take a little exercise, get water or like that, I could go back. I went back two or three days before they'd get back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before they'd show up there.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't be no tracks. I have had as high as 5 days. There's no panther in here, and they'll run back. And he'd take some to ride. And when they get after one like that, he just pulled out. And he finds out they're after them, and he runs way ahead of them, and they just keeps them trailing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe carry them, and no telling how far.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes them a day or two to work the way out. Come on there. Red cow. Come here. I should have caught him.
Yeah, he won't bother him. That fella.
That's the niggas doing work over there. Well, that girl's doing work over there, too. She's working over there, too.
When was that, Mr. Weaver?
What's that?
That you're talking about. When was that?
Oh, that was about a little over a year, about a year ago. A little
oh,
over
just
a
recently?
A year ago. It was a year ago. It was over yonder at Windsor.
Yeah.
I wish you'd come go along sometime and see.
You let me know, and I'll see if I can make it. Well, let me go a little ahead.
Listen, if you come and go, you may not like it, but it'll be a change for you.
Oh, I like it.
And you take some people, you know, they go and they wouldn't, you couldn't get them going when they went, they go back and buy them some dogs. Some of them say, no, I don't want no damn dogs, all stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I just invite people, if they like it, all right, if they don't. And I tell them this, I says, now you all can drive your own car, and when you get tired, you can come back in.
Yeah.
I have to wait and get my dogs, you
see. Yeah,
and most of them won't go, they won't stay.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some of them to be 15 miles from home. They'd promised me they didn't have no way, and they went with me. I said, now, I don't leave my dogs in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just stay. It's easy for me to stay, and there's them come up by hunting for me and then go away. It's a lot easier for me to stay and get them.
When they come up, then you'd be there.
Yeah, and to do that a few times is before you turn them out, that's where they're going to come back and lie down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I train them to lie down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be learned about this dog business. course, I started hunting fox and cats in 1906.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how old I am, wrecked one.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm just 73.
Yeah.
And...
And you could hunt all the time now if you had some of these young fellas that were spry enough, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah, but the generations coming up now don't do nothing on what they have
yeah.
to do.
What do they do? What do they want to do?
They don't want to do nothing but get in a car and hot rod and drive around and all that kind of stuff. Used to, we, in this time of year, you know, when school was over,
mm-hmm.
well, before school was over, you know, we'd get up a town team, and we'd go down to the horse park down there, and we'd play the high school.
Yeah.
Well, you know what those boys, they did want to beat us so bad, you know. I got the teams up, you know, when I came here, and go down there, and I... go ahead and I'd buy the ball. I knew most of them didn't have the money, and if they did, if the parents had it, they wouldn't let the children have it to play ball with, you know, back at that time.
Yeah.
Few of them would, but most of them wouldn't. I went ahead and bought 2 dozen baseballs, $2 a piece. I bought the best ones.
Well, they were costly.
Yeah,
I remember that.
I was buying the best ones,
yeah.
And they'd last us. I knew in playing baseball, I'd played a lot myself ever since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
We'd get off a little once in a while on Saturday afternoons and go and play a few games through the summer. And after the uh-huh. after we crops were laid by,
yeah.
we could get off then every Saturday. But as long as there's work to need doing, we worked till 8 o'clock on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And, well, I didn't care for it. I said, I belong to. And... so that I stayed there and worked for Dad and Mother, and they got everything that's made, you know, until I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
After I quit going to school, I stayed there and worked day after day, and they got all the money. I didn't get none of it. And didn't ask them I'd go out. If I needed any money, I'd go out.
You picked up your own money?
Yeah, and bought my own clothes that way.
Yeah.
And picked up a little.
Now, the colored man was standing back there. Looked like he didn't know what to do. Mr. Weaver went back there and talked to him. It turned out that he was out of gas. He couldn't run a mower. He was going to run the mower for one of the neighbors down that little alley of the street. And while he's there, he wanted a drink of water. Mr. Weaver brought him out some water in a coffee jar. A middle-sized coffee jar, and told him when he got through it he could leave the coffee jar under that tree. And he wanted a pitchfork. First, Mr. Weaver said he didn't have one, or he said the handle was broke. But he finally went and got it, and it really was broke. It was split, clear on up. It was a homemade one, and the wood was hard. And he said he didn't know what made it split. Well, I could have told him that, as little as I know about those things.
He'd come out of feeding,
brother. Hard to get the gas?
Sure, ain't it? Well, man, he ain't open. Like this morning, he ain't open.
Yeah?
Sure did.
Going fishing.
On the way, yeah.
Going fishing.
This way, yeah? Yeah.
And the other place?
No, we basically done quit keeping it. The people just drive the car up there and fill the tank, and he don't be watching. They just going on, they don't pay him.
Well, I never heard of anything like that.
What was that?
He said drive up there in front of Mr. Weaver's and fill up the tank and go off and not pay him.
Well, that's what he told me this morning.
Well, sometimes they do that. They think that they see them and they'll charge it, you know.
Yeah.
And people used to getting gas or something like that. Well, they don't put it down. It's their fault as much as the customer's fault.
Oh, I see.
Let me give you this. I got a little in here. And I'd let you work a little while.
You got very little.
I know, but it'd be a tank full.
You got a tank full?
That'll be getting my hour tooth cutting.
Yeah. What is it, regular gas or
yeah.
special gas?
Regular gas. That's what I use, regular gas in London more.
That ain't not a tank full, I don't believe.
No, I don't believe that either.
No, that ain't not a tank full.
It's half tank full, isn't it?
Well,
mine's a small tank. I got
mine's
a small
big
machine.
Tank.
Well, yours big and well, it ain't then, so you got a big machine. Mine's a small.
Yeah.
That dog don't belong to either
well,
nobody.
I wonder if I'd gotten pick up all that. You got a pitchfork?
I got one that kind of broke, split in.
How long
can,
it is?
You can't use it. Let me see. I got one here. Maybe
you could. Oh, yeah, Frank Housen. I don't know what he must have got that thing cut off.
Can't get no water?
No.
Looks like they don't want a fellow to work this morning.
Don't look like it.
Damn, come, Mr.
He's just wore out.
I want some water.
Yeah. Huh?
I want some water. I can't get none.
You can't get no water?
No.
Well, you got the same foot in?
No, I just drank a bottle.
Let me get him some water.
That's it.
Huh?
That old dog going to try to bite you.
You had experience with him?
Yes, around up there.
Yeah. Well, he won't...
Carry this along with you and drop that jar now out yonder at the trash can.
I'll drop it to the road this way.
What's that?
So I'll drop it up there to the road.
Okay, right there at the trash can.
Okay.
I'll put that like that.
Oh. Oh, they notice that?
Yeah. And... All dogs, I'm going to a strange place. I got something water in my hand. Well, you take Jack Herring could come up here and go to all my dogs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he came around here drunk one time with packages and things and shaking his way, and he can't go to none of them no more.
Oh, really? They even remember it?
Yes, sir, just as long as he lives and not down in a bar cat and going up and down that street and knows it's
why,
him.
Why, Mr. Weaver, that's remarkable.
And beforehand, you see, I don't care if there are a little skittish. That dog went across there then. Nobody'll ever steal her. They're loading up dogs and she happens to run up with the other dogs and jump in. Because ain't nobody and that and yonder. And one that died, there at the front, that big fine one died. Nobody. And I don't think he'd catch any of the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Old Mayflower yonder just let you do anything up here if she hadn't got puppies.
Mm-hmm.
She won't let nobody go to her but me when she got puppies.
Oh, really?
And she's 10 years old.
Yeah.
In the woods, she's all right, but she don't want you to load her. She don't want you to come up out of a strange car and pick her up.
Hmm.
It's just an instinct in him, you know.
Yeah.
And nature.
Well,
that nigger, I tried and tried to get him to cut yards for me. He won't cut for me. He won't do anything for me. But he wants me to get. And you can't keep from doing a little something. It's just not in me. If I can accommodate a person a little bit. But I offer to pay him his price. He won't do it.
Well, what do you know?
He just wants to work someone else. Rat owner, I reckon. I work.
Yeah, makes a difference. They know the difference.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't hire him no way on his contract. Because I know him.
Oh, really?
They're all that way, and these young niggas just won't work for you for nothing.
Yeah.
Haven't you been trying to hire some of them?
I quit, Mr. Weaver.
I hate to say anything about it, but... But you just got to do it yourself or let it be gone.
That's what I decided, yeah.
That's the way I have to do things. Just like my dogs, you know. When I'm working, I whole lot rather pay someone to look after them for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd give them dogs to furnish the dogs and everything and to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And they could hunt them. But they'll take them off. They won't feed them. I'll have them to use feed and...
Yeah.
And do something with it and not feed my dogs. I know how much it takes to feed a dog.
Yeah.
As much experience for ever since 1912 with dogs nearly ever all the time.
Yeah.
I know I got to figure these cost me about 8 cents a day the way I work it, not over 10.
Yeah.
For each dog.
But you can feed them.
Yeah.
Good ration.
I feed them myself plenty of, and give them balanced diet.
Uh-huh.
Give them the best.
Yeah.
When I buy dog food, of course, I buy it wholesale. I buy a couple of 100 pounds at a time, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes 225.
Well, now that's right smart at one time.
Yeah, but I buy once a month because, listen, Central Grocer's so nice to me. They bring it to me and put it on my porch for me.
Is that right?
And I can call them up and tell them to send it to me, and I don't have to be here. And if I don't pay them, that's when they come back again, I'll pay them. And I owe them for 5 sacks right now. And I missed them this last
mm-hmm.
Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I missed them.
When you're not in business, it's just hard to be there when they come.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
And so that I didn't call them up. I ought to call them up. They'd sent right on down to me. Because I run short and buying out of these stores, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, buy that old stuff, a bargain in, and it makes your dog sick.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they do?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about the same ones. You don't turn down the cars of stuff, you know. Carloads of stuff, you know, if there happen to be a weevil in it, and they turn the whole cars down, they have to sell it for what they can get for it then, you see.
Oh.
And some of them handles that in the store.
Some of them handles that.
These chainsaws all does that.
Why, Mr. Wheeler?
They buying all that bargain stuff. Fellow from Miami, before they turn it down there, a lot of them turn it down and buy it themselves if somebody don't bid against them, you see, and get it for nearly nothing. And if it's damaged, if it's every bit damaged, you see, an inspector finds for one weevil's in a car, they turn it down. Because if they can find anything in there, you know, in trucks and things, have to watch to keep it out of there. If you don't see, they get in and an inspector finds it, they turn it down. A lot of these merchants don't know that's what they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. They just give them a little reduced price on it, you see. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell the central grocer, I says, now listen, I don't want none of it. I says, you can't give it to me. But I get it every once in a while, it's bad, make my dog sick if I do. It'll make them sick when it's,
Well, now, if you look at it, you can tell.
You can smell of it.
Smell of it.
Boy, I sent central grocers back one a bag or two.
Oh, did you?
I sure did. I broke that, and I had to give it to the man. I said, take it back to him, the one who delivered. I said, take this back, send me another one in place of it. I says, my dog cost me too much money. I says, I got too much in him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it costs us from $25 to $100 stud fee on them.
Yeah.
And they...
That adds up, mister.
You might right, it does.
Mm.
And
that's just money out of your pocket.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times they'll take a puppy and a lot of times they won't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what I do. I've got to charge them for mine. I says, by God, it don't make any difference what to bring up here. If they breed to mine, they're going to pay just like as a good dog, because that's their fault, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it this way. If I took puppies, I says, now, I do different to what the old rule is. You get the first puppy. If it ain't one, you get it. The man's got the stud dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, I says, well, that's unfair. I says, tell you what you do. You take that one puppy. They brought him at the wrong time, you see. And, or something happened to the chip somewhere in it. I says, you take that puppy. I don't need it. And I says, when she comes in heat, bring her back and let me tell you when to breed.
Oh.
And being 8 or 9 puppies.
Can you do that?
Yeah. You can tell when to breed them. I can tell when to breed them, when it's not. They'll take a dog when they won't get caught. Sometimes. They'll take all dogs, happens to be the right time they get hot. They'll let nearly any dog go to them.
Yeah.
And the way I do, you see, I got this fan built here, and I put my jets up in there. When they first start bleeding, and they don't, I know you never drive up here and see a bunch of dogs around here, do you?
No.
I can have 2 or 3 jets in heat.
Yeah.
And you won't never see a dog around here. And at night, I get up and I'll check around and I don't...
Well, now the dogs won't hang around if they can't get to them.
Well, if you put them up 2 feet off of the ground and put them up before they run all over the country and just like your dog.
Oh.
If you've got a little jip down there, if you put her up, watch them in about every 6 months. Now, some small type comes in 4 months. But usually 6 months and sometimes they'll skip. Watch them, they'll start bleeding and they'll swell up big.
Mm-hmm.
And just as that's when they quit bleeding the first time and don't see much blood and it swelled up,
and swelled up at, up high and comes on down. And when it goes back down, Connor, then they're getting ready and quit bleeding. They'll take a dog then. Mm-hmm. And you can just touch them around back there if they're ready and hit your finger that way around on them somewhere. You don't have to touch the main thing, but you can just touch on the, close to it that way. Mm-hmm. Hit that way, and they'll turn that tail up if they're ready.
Yeah.
And if you ever go to breed dogs, a dog or anything like that, you can tell without worrying about it. Well, you wait then about 3 to 5 days and you get a good litter of puppies. And it's best not let them go but about once, not over.
Oh,
time.
You mean they're not, they'll breed for 3 days after that?
5 days, 9 days.
They'll stay in heat for that long?
Yeah.
They'll
run around and bleed and dogs will find out where they are and hold her all over the country and leave home and maybe go 3 or 4 or 5 miles. Out in the country, if you live in town, if you live out, Guthrie's dogs over yonder from over there across River Styx, you know, way back in there, comes to town. When I lived out there at the junction, I'd see them every morning going to town.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't the dogs that you see. Now, you take these dogs here, if they get loose, they're hunting. They ain't a hunting something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go hunting if one of them gets loose. And they'll run right up to your yard all around in here and hunting going on,
mm-hmm.
and maybe smell around a little bit and go on to trying to. They ain't hunting food. They ain't that hungry. My dog's not that hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, certain things that come across it, sometimes they'll stop and pick it up. But most times, these dogs you can put feed down.
Mm-hmm.
Now I tell you, I had one dog my dog's running out at my dad's in Alabama. I was up there one time carried him with me, and you know this dog. This young dog weren't but a year old. He got lost off. There's about 4 or 5 miles we went in there hunting the next night, about mm-hmm. 4 or 5 miles from the house, and they left the house going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the roads, all of them went this way, and my old dog used to come right back through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And he got confused over there somewhere or another. And stayed all day long, and that night we went in there fox hunting. Well, my dog struck. The other fellow's in there too. And after a while, I blowed my horn every once in a while because my old dog wouldn't pay no attention to it. They weren't ready to come in, no way. I heard way back, my dog's running this way, and way back this way, I heard this puppy howl. Oh, and I blew it about three long blows to let him get the course.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little bit of seen him running up. Well, I'd carried him feed and I put it down. When those dogs barked, it was just as he got there, he smelled it and never eat a bite. Went right on back and
around.
And he hadn't had a bite all day.
Yeah.
Since the night before.
Yeah.
Went but a year old. And he wouldn't stop and eat that food when he heard these other dogs bark.
Well, they can go for a long time then without even wanting to eat.
Yeah.
When they're working.
They never. When they work hard all day and maybe part of the next day, they lie down. You can put your feet down. They hardly ever eat until they rest a while.
Is that right?
That's right. Very seldom it takes a mighty greedy dog to eat when it's real tired.
Yeah.
One thing, they drink a lot of water when they're running. And
oh, do they?
Then they just nicely.
How pretty?
See a dog. Learns that she knows you like a dog. That you don't hate a dog.
She can tell in your voice.
Yeah.
Or scared.
Yeah.
Or nervous.
If you're afraid of the dog, she can tell that.
Yeah.
And that makes her, that makes that dog nervous.
That
no?
makes the dog. Let me know, sir.
That same place.
No, sir. I never know that.
You didn't?
No. No, sir.
That's right. And then you go out there with your shell and pick it up. Now, a dog, dog will move as it kind of builds up. He don't want to step in it. And especially the other dogs, Hattery and I like to keep mine separate. And if something gets wrong with one or a flea gets on, it keeps it from getting on there, too. I mean, it's easier to handle. Go ahead and finish telling it. I didn't
mean to
interrupt you.
Yeah. Well,
no,
they're clean.
Yeah.
They're cleaner than I ever saw. I didn't realize a hog would do that.
Yeah. You can put them in too close a place. Now, listen, cement isn't good for you, no animal especially. It's nature for animals to be on this dirt. And dogs or anything does better.
Mm-hmm.
It'll eventually give them stiffened joints and the wires of feet off. And,
mm-hmm.
and now, if you want the feet, it's good to do this, but like, I put a rock down there or something for my dog to run over to keep his feet up and so they run across rock or something
in
place to do that, but I don't want them on cement.
Yeah.
Permanent. Now, wood is I like to have wood that can get up on wood anytime I want to. Up high if they want to get up. They like to get up on them.
Yeah.
Got a little old puppies. I had a 6 down some blocks, 6 down that house. It was 3 months old. Around 2 months old. You know what they do? Climb up on that and get on that house and lie up on top of that house.
Oh, they like to get up on what?
Yeah, I had two dogs last year, and now I got them coming out pretty good. Mine, I had three in there, and it had to be somebody pouring there with dogs I had, because my old dogs had this stuff.
Yeah.
And that night, John, it looked like you'd die, and I had to eat good food down there.
Why, Mr. Wheeler?
And I thought the oven's getting along pretty good, and I put him down there, away from the rest of them, if they all got better.
Yeah.
I put him down there, and I think they must have come back and gave him a second one and killed him.
Yeah.
And I refused twice for $150 to sit in that box that you coming up there, his mate. And the second time he came back, he said, I'm a good man, he gave you $200 for that dog.
Uh-huh.
I said, no, you won't either. I said, you don't buy that dog unless it's you buy every dog I got, and he quit.
Yeah.
I says, I wouldn't sell, I'll sell them for $100 a piece. If a man will take them all, and the shape of me.
Yeah.
And I says, that ain't all. I says, I'll come and go hunting with you and help you hand on your dog.
Yeah.
And help you take care of them if you're not too far away.
Yeah.
But I says, me'd sell my stud dog. Well, before that dog was a year old, he done made me $75 stud fee.
Yeah.
8 months old. They brought him to old Grady got killed.
Yeah.
And they brought him to breed, brought the Jip to breed to him.
Uh-huh.
Brought him once before and he should have done out.
Uh-huh.
Too waited too long. And next time she come in and brought her down here, she just right. Well, I had nothing but puppies.
Yeah.
And so that she was a registered Jip, too. She was a registered dog. So I told him I'd take some puppies from her because that would keep me from breeding. Usually, I don't have to breed a Jip because if a fella's got the right kind of a Jip, I'll take puppies for stud breeding.
Uh-huh.
And then that saves me having to breed. And,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I can, if I don't own them, I can always sell them.
Yeah.
If I take a notion. Well, those three in there were 6 months old, or there's four in there, and the fella drove from Miami, had two of the mates of these others, and he'd had dogs from me before, and he said he couldn't find nothing nowhere that he wanted. And he came up here because he was going out to have them shipped. If I shipped them to him, that it'd be 3 days before they'd get there, and he didn't want them on the road, and he drove from Miami up here and got two of them. Then,
I'd do the same thing, I think.
Well, you're going to do that on your cows, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Go and get your cows. Go. It may cost you more to do that, but in the long run, it won't. You can take care of it, and the other fellow won't.
Yeah.
And shipping it, if you don't fix for it and take care of it, it's liable to get it.
Now, dogs like to get up on wood.
Yeah, they like to lie up on. It's tin or anything up high. They like to get up on it.
Well, I never realized that.
Yeah.
Well, why hadn't I ever noticed that, Mr. Wheeler?
Well, you just let your dog run out, and it'll step on the porch. You got up on something around there, and you didn't have them out in the kindling and see them get up on things.
Well, I can see. I always seen them get under the house and sort of get in a cool place.
Well, they get in a cool place, and they get up there at night or in the sun on that high place, and they can see so much farther. They learn they can get up on anything and see.
I can't remember ever seeing a dog up on a high place.
Hmm. Well, I had some boards up there, and they lay on that a great deal. It's better for them live some, you know, for flea. Up this high, flea can't get up to the dog. He hops, you know, and he can't hop that pole.
Is that right?
And dogs learn to get up high on things, and says fleas come along, they go on, hop somewhere else, and they hop off of them, they can't get back.
Yeah. And get up and scratch, huh?
Yeah. And I don't know, there's just a lot of things that you can watch. I tell you, I've learned a great deal more about watching and experimenting than anything else.
Yeah.
It's just like gardening. I want to show you. Come here. You got time to talk a little bit, or you're running on
Yeah.
Subject.
Well,
I'll show you. I've got things that you don't know. Here's my bee now.
Yeah.
Which one looks to be the oldest?
The oldest?
Yeah.
On this side.
Looks to be the oldest.
A little bit.
Well, in a way they are, but there was part of those is a month older than these. There was about 50 in that, and I replanted that. And I planted those on the 14th of February. Those were 14th of February. Planted a little too deep in all that cold weather, wouldn't let them come up.
Yeah.
And the mold went right down under me.
Oh,
and I would come back and replanted them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, they ain't nothing bothered this, and I planted this one the 14th of March.
Yeah. Yeah, this been in 2 months, and this one just one.
Yeah, well, that's replants, sir. A month younger than these now.
Yeah.
That's replants among that.
Well, and these are getting ahead of these, then.
Most of these is replants.
Yeah.
I went back and bought my seed and just took and made the hole down and stuck my seed down in there. If I'd had rain on them, it'd look better.
Yeah.
But these have been a little older and got the water at the right time. And I've got to fertilize these.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the mold. Man, the dog's been over that first row pretty bad. So that there's two stalks of mustard.
Yes,
and I planted those in the moon.
Oh,
he worked them just as good as it could be, but to plant them on the wrong time of the moon.
Oh, really?
Had you ever figured that?
I'd heard it, Mr. Weaver, but I hadn't.
Well, now I'm showing it to you.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And the other day I told him, I says, now, well, since we're here, we're going this way and come on around. Right on a full moon, or going down, the sun is going down, and you make better roots and not as much at top.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the root back here, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But
so they done all right.
And they done better. These, I like the 2 days to get them in early enough. You plant those on dark nights, 3 days before dark nights or 3 days after. Well, it was at least 3 days before. I may have planted them on the grow on the moon till I had a little too much vine.
Uh-huh.
And but if you plant on dark night, the insects don't bother. If you plant those on flower day and the old lady's birthday almanac, and if you plant on flower day, you'll have vines up this high and just covered, and they'll just bloom, and you won't get three peas that long.
Yeah, I've seen them like that.
Well, you didn't what make it?
No.
Well, that's what it was. I planted some, didn't look to see, and I think I was about 2 or 3 days late planting these here.
This is the end of Channel 2 Right. This is the end of Channel 2 Right. And towards the middle of the visit with Mr. Mac Weaver on Saturday before, towards the middle of the morning, up towards noon now, Saturday the 12th of April, 1969. This is a visit with Mr. Mac Weaver, the middle of it, on Saturday morning, the 12th of April, 1969.